And welcome back to Long Arm Stapler, a podcast about zines. I'm Mayra, your host, they, them pronouns, and excited to be back. Today I'm joined by two of the organizers for Grid Zine Fest in Salt Lake City, Utah. Grid Zine Fest is a zine and comics festival in Salt Lake City. Zinesters from across the country table at their annual festival, and they encourage folks of all levels to participate. Today I'm joined by Donna and Bonnie. Donna Ramon, she/they, is a medical librarian, writer, graphic designer, labor organizer, and community activist. Active in the Los Angeles and Inland Empire and Salt Lake City alternative music scene since 1999, their advocacy and research interests include anti-racism, data privacy, health disparities, and right-wing disinformation campaigning. She often uses her experiences as an Arab woman born in the United States to immigrant parents. And Bonnie Cooper, she, her, has been creating zines and collaborating with kids and teens through zine workshops and summer camps. In Salt Lake City since 2011, she's been involved with organizing Grid Zine Fest since 2016. Bonnie's roles as mother, gardener, artist, community member, youth mentor, and queer woman inform her creative expression through zines as well as her community involvement. Whew, hello. good to have you both here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, this is a delight. So good to join you.
Yeah, I was talking to Donna before we started recording, but I love Grid Zine Fest. I'm going to go on record saying that it's my favorite out-of-state zine fest. I'm from California, for everyone who doesn't know, so it's like, it's not that much of a trek, but it's a flight. And I think this will be my fourth, so looking forward to it.
It's such a delight to always have you and your crew every year. It's so fun. You bring such a fun energy. It just really embodies what we want to be happening at Grid, is like bringing in folks from outside the community and stirring up ideas and zines and meeting new friends. It's so awesome to always have you.
Yeah, the way that I describe fests is like, well, it's, you know, it is tabling our zines, but also it's kind of a friend convention.
Yes, that's such a good way to describe a zine fest, is a friend convention.
And I one time was talking, or I sent an email to Quimby's in Chicago, and I didn't know who the like generic email was going to go out to. And I was just saying like, hey, would you be interested in being sponsored as a space that would have issues of this fanzine that I work on called Razor Cake? And then the email I got back was from Liz Mason, and it was like, oh my God, are you the Donna Ramon that writes in Razor Cake? And I was like, okay, so you mean to tell me that people who make zines just have crushes on everybody across the country? Like, is that what this is? Where all of us have crushes on each other, and we're like, oh my God, Liz Mason knew who I was. And Liz Mason's like, what are you doing writing me? I love it.
Liz Mason is so cool. I want to interview her eventually.
Yeah. They just got interviewed in Razor Cake, and I was like so excited when I saw their name on the cover. It's like, ah!
That's so fun. That's one thing I love about zines, is like the community and just kind of being able to like network all over the country and just like, I don't know, have friends in a bunch of different spaces and be able to visit them and like share your work and hang out and eat snacks and see the wavy guy. Like, okay, so I love the addition of the wavy guys. That started last year, right? The wacky dancers. Wacky dancers, yes. Big fan.
Yeah, I can't even remember exactly what happened. That we just knew that the new venue that we used last year, and we are using it again this year, it's a downtown middle school called Bryant Middle School in downtown Salt Lake. And we knew that there was a long hallway people had to go down, and we didn't want anyone to get lost, end up in the, you know, biology room or whatever. So we said, can we spring for wacky dancers? And we did. And it was a huge hit. I mean, across all ages, demographics, almost everybody loves a wacky dancer. I have a nephew who is terrified of them, so he did not come to the fest last year. But I think he's an outlier. I think most people love the wacky wavers.
big, big fan. I made my friend take a video of me like doing the thing next to one. That was one of my favorite memories of our trip last year.
Awesome.
So getting into the actual fest, I guess that was the actual fest, the Wacky Dancers, but how did Grid Zine Fest come about? Because you've been one of the original organizers, Bonnie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. I mean, I should just call myself that now. It was not my brainchild or anything specifically. I had been involved with zines. Salt Lake City has another zine fest every year that the Salt Lake City Public Library puts on called Alt Press Fest. And that's been happening. I am not totally sure what year it was, but before I moved to Salt Lake. So in the early aughts, Alt Press Fest started. But it's very community driven and it doesn't really cast its net out to zine makers from out of state or abroad or anywhere. And so I'm pretty sure the people who kind of got together to pull together Grid just really wanted it to become more of the friend fest, like we were talking about. It, like a reason for their pals from Portland and, you know, California and Chicago or wherever to have a reason to fly in and table and hang out and spend the night on their couch. Right. So, they just kind of started seeing who was around that wanted to. And there were a lot of people that first year who were like, yeah, we want to help plan. And then, you know, things get busy. And so they kind of ducked in and out. And I had just been hearing things. I had gone to Alt Press Fest that year. I'd gotten a flyer for Grid. I got super excited about it. That was a rough year for me personally. It was kind of a dark time, so I was looking for a little bit of light and a little bit of connection. And so I just ran into Julie Huddleston, who I didn't really know. I had seen at Alt Press Fest at a little zine event at a record shop downtown called Diabolical Records. And I just said, hey, Julie, I want to help plan Grid. And Julie's like, for real? And I was like, yeah. And I just kind of got roped into it at that point. Or not roped. I roped myself in. Anyway, I willingly dived in and got involved with that first fest that then took place in April of 2017. And it was just so wonderful. I've met all of my best friends through zine making and the fest. And it really just has been a force for good in my life. So yeah.
Actually, Donna, how did you got involved in 2019, right?
Yeah. So I've been having technical difficulties in case I keep freezing, but Bonnie and Julie, I think just, and I guess for me, it felt a little out of the blue, but I had tabled at Grid. I'm trying to think. I don't think I did it the first year.
No, Donna, you were there the first year. That was when I first met you.
Was I?
Yeah, I remember. Because the Razor Cake table was so cool, and you were all, like, kind of intimidating because you were so cool, and I was, like, I don't know. I was pregnant and goofy feeling anyway and a little shy, and then you were so warm and so friendly and so nice. And I was like, wait, you live here in Salt Lake? And you were like, yeah, I just moved here a couple years ago. And you were so nice. So yeah, you were at that first one at Salt Lake Arts Academy in 2017.
Oh my God. Okay. So I guess I was at the very first one, tabling Razor Cake, as I am apt to do. And early 2019 is when Julie and Bonnie reached out to me and said, would you be interested in being an organizer? And I was like, absolutely. I would love to. I got a very long and historied background of throwing events that were mostly punk shows. Cause I had two different venues, in California before I moved to Salt Lake City, like warehouses where we were throwing shows illegally. Those are still venues. it's all right. They're gone now. So the police can't get me. But yes, so I guess I tabled at the very first fest, and then a couple fests later, they asked me to be a part of it. And I was really excited to actually put together a zine fest that was a citywide zine fest because they felt so big and special. And unfortunately, the first fest that we were working so hard towards happening was in 2020, and that one was postponed. And then 2021 was postponed. So 2022 was actually the first fest that I helped plan that was actually executed without a worldwide pandemic stopping it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's such a good idea to like reach out to people directly. I just want to sidebar that, like, to organize a fest, because I don't tend to do that, and that's something that I should probably start doing, is like tapping people who, like, you know, are down and interested and excited about it. So noted on that front.
Yeah, it just made sense, because we had a couple people leave that year when we reached out to Donna, and we also reached out to another local zine maker, Ricky, and they both just always come to the zine fest. They're just like pillars in the zine community, you know? And so it just was like, oh, we just want their energy. We just like know they're going to show up. Like, it just made sense. And, you know, Donna, you'd been doing wrapping up school and things before then, so it was also just good timing. It seemed like maybe you would have a little space to take this on that year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I had just finished my library science degree from San Jose State University on the internet. And Ricky and I had been friends from when I first moved to Salt Lake City in 2013. And a lot of times at Grid Zine Fest, you're able to actually like put in if there's somebody you want to share a table with or somebody that you want to be seated by, so that when Bonnie puts together the tabler map, can try and situate friends by each other. And so Ricky and I used to always share a table as well.
And look at you now, you're organizing.
I know. It's wild. It's wild to know how many people want to be part of this fest, or that people want to travel to come to this fest.
That's how I feel about Bay Area Cuisine Fest. I'm always like shocked when people want to come visit for it. Like, I'm just like, our little thing that we put on every, like, I don't know. It feels so good when people want to do that. So it's, yeah. It feels great. And I'm glad that people want to travel, including me. Like, I love traveling to Salt Lake City for this fest. So.
And it is. It's always shocking and surprising and delightful. I think sort of a fun story is last year, Donna's friend Mike came from Cape Cod. Is that right, Donna?
It sure is.
Whoa.
And it was his first zine fest. It was Grid Zine Fest. It was his first zine fest.
I couldn't believe it. So Mike is in a band called Plaza, and is also, I mean, has been doing all kinds of different zines, but he and I both do stuff on Razor Cake. And so Mike Fournier and I have kind of tangentially known each other, but we're not close friends. We've only met in person prior to that, maybe once in LA, when we had like a big Razor Cake party where everybody came out from around the country. And I always put it out there like, hey, everybody from Razor Cake, who wants to table with me at Grid Zine Fest? You can sleep on my sofa bed, right? Like, I always try to make it enticing and ask all the friends who wants to come out. And I was really surprised when Mike was the person who reached out to me, because he's been making zines since the 90s. And has been part of Razor Cake at least as long as I have been, at least maybe longer. He does a baseball zine called Zisk, where it's the baseball zine for people who don't like baseball, which I think is very funny. And I've contributed to it in the past as well. And then he was like, hey, I think it'd be fun to come out. I've never seen Salt Lake City. Would you be willing to host me? And I was like, absolutely. And it was kind of this big whim of like, oh no, what if we don't get along and we're like in my house nonstop for a couple days? And when he came out, we were tabling Razor Cake together for Grid. I made him wake up early and help set up the tables. And like he ended up with volunteer duties just by staying at my house and staying with an organizer. But while the fest was going on and we were sitting together talking, he was like, this is so cool. This is really nice. Like, I've never done a zine fest before. and the whiplash I had of like, what you've been making, what are you saying? Like, you have a zine library that rivals those that are like in cities and universities, right? Like, he has so much knowledge that of like people who had come out. He was like, I read this thing you did. I ordered this thing from you. I remember when you wrote an essay in the gatefold of this record. Like, he knew everybody in there. He's so like knowledgeable of the entire zine ecosystem. And yet we're standing there and he's like, yep, first zine fest. And I was like, what? You live a bus ride from Boston. They got to have one. It was absolutely like mind-blowing that we were, for whatever reason, something about the whole thing made him be like, hey, why not? And then since then, we've become so much closer friends. We definitely don't go, we probably don't go more than like 2 weeks without checking in with each other about something. And then he does Policymaker, which is a less a zine, more of a personal newsletter that like a lot of people do that I love, where you just like snail mail. That's the only way it exists. And you kind of get these little cute updates of all your friends. And a lot of zine makers have started making them and I really love them. And every year he does a big annual Policymaker where it's a zine. And then like, if you read it one way, or if you flip it over and read it the other way, one side is him and one side is another person that he's invited. And he invited me to be the other side of the policy, the annual Policymaker this year.
Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait to get my hands on that, Donna. That's going to be so cool.
It is very cool. And it just, I don't know, it just goes to show like zines are just like art friends making art stuff together, looking out for each other. I don't know, fulfilling those needs that regular life sometimes doesn't give us.
Absolutely. That's when people ask me like why I like zines, I get really like choked up and like that's essentially why, like, cuz it's just it's all the fun stuff that you don't always get in everyday life, but you do, you know, once a year or every couple of months if you're like traveling with friends, or whenever you make a zine and get to share it with someone. It's like, I don't know, making stuff with friends is a very special, making art especially with friends is like just a very special process, I think. Very fulfilling, like you said.
Every part of it, making art with friends, traveling with friends, meeting in a new city with friends, crashing on each other's couches, talking in depth about their lives and how they want to portray that creatively. All of, or even just getting those newsletters, right? Like when I open up the mail and I read about how someone's doing or what they're working on, it makes me, I don't know. It gives me a lot of fulfillment and I hope it does for them too.
I've been thinking about starting one of those like monthly newsletters, because I know someone who, Alyssa from Crafter DIY, does like a monthly per zine email newsletter. And I love sending mail. And so I'm like, what if I just did this? Because I have a goal every year, like the last 2 years, of like, I want to send so many letters to all my friends. And I think that would be a good way to like meet that goal and also have fun and make a zine.
I think it's nice and helpful. I am not somebody who does it, and I've contributed to one a couple of times, and I don't know if I have what it takes to do a monthly one, but it is also just that art practice of being like, sit down and do this and like have it on a regular basis, that I think is really valuable and really helpful, and kind of just takes the edge off of like the how big making art can feel, and just do it, just get it done and then share it with people and get all those, I don't know, endorphins, oxytocin. I don't know what it is. Dopamine.
One of those chemicals.
I love receiving them personally. I don't think I get a lot out of doing like deep journaling and like per zines as much. I'm way more into like educational and radical literature when I'm making my zines. but I love, love, love receiving them. Absolutely adore them. Best thing that comes in the mail. So if you make one, put me on that list. I'm happy to subscribe.
Will do. Yeah, I spent a lot of my teen years on LiveJournal, so I'm big on the per zine.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that could be a good, like, transition, a good easy transition for me.
It would be so cute to, like, make it look like a LiveJournal, but you mail it.
Ooh, okay, that's a good idea.
Like, channel that LiveJournal energy. We all miss it. We all want it back.
It's not the, I like went on a couple years ago and I was like, I'm going to get back into it. Cause a lot of my friends I know from LiveJournal, like a lot of my close friends on the internet. And I went on and I was like, it's not the same. Cause like not all my friends are on it anymore. But a lot of my friends are making zines now. So I think.
And sort of an organic evolution there. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to ask more questions about the Zine Fest because it's coming up on May 18th. How many people are involved this year, like organizationally?
Bonnie, you want to take this one?
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say Donna, but I can take it. there's more or less four of us right now who are organizing. It is nice once you've been organizing for several years because you just kind of have your checklist of the most important things, venue, event insurance, the kind of, you know, all that kind of boring stuff. And people who've done it before usually can handle doing it again, or if they have to pass it off, it's not too complicated. Hopefully we'll get some more volunteers just day of to really help us out, just make the event happen. But yeah.
How long does it typically take to plan your annual fest?
Let's see, because I made a giant timeline last year so that we could stay on top of everything. And I will say, four people is kind of pushing it. We definitely need more hands. But I think it's also partially because we're all getting older and our responsibilities and how much time to put towards the Zine Fest can waver when big life events hit. So I would say right now, I think we start because the fest is always in May, and now Salt Lake City has Kilby Block Party, which is like a giant music fest that started. This is the second or the third year, Bonnie?
It's pretty new. I don't know what year it started, but yeah, definitely since the pandemic.
Right. So it's a pretty new, but it is a massive people fly out music festival that we see as potentially in conflict with Grid Zine Fest. Like, we know that there's definitely people who would feel conflicted between which one they want to go to. Like last year, that one of the headliners was Boy Genius, and I'm not about to do that to anybody, you know? And so we generally would just kind of pick like mid-May, Saturday. And then we pushed it to June one time just due to logistics, and it was way too hot. It had already hit like 100 degrees and it was brutal. So we, at that point, it was one of those like executive decision. We are never going past that point in May. Right. And so we generally start right after the holidays, getting together and starting to map out the year, knowing the things that are easy enough, like book the venue by this time, tables and chairs, all those rentals, the tax forms, all of the bits and pieces. Those come a lot later, but just figuring out what is our timeline. When are we going to open up registration? Who's in charge of what this year? Who are we going to ask to do the art for the poster? How, you know, like all of the logistics start in January.
It's funny that you mention Kilby being like a potential conflict because I'm actually flying out for that the weekend before, and I was worried that they were going to be the same weekend. But instead of flying out two weekends, I'm just going to stay in Salt Lake City that entire week between and like work remotely so that I can go to the fest and Kilby Block Party.
Sweet. I love it. Then we get to hang out for a whole week.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to take you to our favorite little bistro, Mayra. Donna and I love it. It's called Sweet Hazel. It's so good. Let's go.
I love a bistro. Oh my God. Yeah, let's do it.
It is great.
Yeah, I was like, when I found out about the festival, I was like scouring the internet to see if you had released a date for the fest yet. And I was just like, I can't miss Grit. Like, I can't choose. And so I'm glad that I get to do both.
It's interesting.
That's amazing. And I'm glad we knew. We knew. Yeah. We were like, there's no way people don't want to go to both of these things.
I think it's sort of interesting the way that ZineFest organizers do have to kind of gauge what else is going on in their city that same day. And is it a potential draw so they should double book, or is it going to be a conflict? A few years ago, I went to Albuquerque Zine Fest, and it was the same weekend as the Hot Air Balloon Festival, which was enough of a different thing that it was just cool to be there for that, right? So it's like, oh, lots of people are coming to the city. Maybe they'll come to the Zine Fest, where then something like a big music festival, that's too close. There's too much crossover. It would not be good for either of us to have that the same weekend, so...
That happened one year with Bay Area Queer Zine Fest, where we had it in like downtown Oakland, and our first one was in June because we were like, gay, Pride Month, yay, cool. And then we started having it in September because it lined up with Oakland Pride, because that's usually where we have the fest. And then the second year we had it, it was actually like the same day as Oakland Pride, and we were like nearby the festivities, and so we were like, I think we got a lot of crossover that year, and it was cool to see, but it's definitely like, will people want to come to our thing? Hopefully, like, it's all queer. So like, if that ever happens again, we will hopefully get the crossover. But yeah, you gotta like, you not only have to plan your event, but you also have to like have feelers out for like, what else is happening? Like, how do we make ours more enticing, I guess, if there are like similar things, but also like maybe just not plan them the same weekend so that in case they are too similar.
Yeah, one of the things that we always pay attention to is that the other zine fest in town, which is through the library and is much more focused on local creators and it's much smaller, is always in October. And so we make sure that we are as far away from that as possible without having adverse weather.
That's smart, because it gets hot out there. Like, I remember last year or the year before, it was like, I mean, I'm from the East Bay where it gets like kind of hot, but I feel like it was like a very dry heat when we were in Salt Lake last year.
It sure is. 100 degrees and you need lip balm or you will die.
I don't know how you do it. It's too hot.
It gets too hot in the summer. It gets too cold in the winter. We do have a fall and spring, but it only lasts about 2 weeks.
They're brief. That's for sure.
At least you get them though. At least you have seasons.
We got all four. As someone who moved here from California, I am like perpetually just overwhelmed and just overjoyed by weather. Like in the window, I'm like, it's raining. It's raining. And everyone just looks at me. And then I'm like, wind, there's wind here. And then a little while later, I'm just like, I'm so charmed by it all the time because I was 30 when I moved to Salt Lake. So like whole life somewhere else. And then as an adult moved somewhere new. And then I remember I got made fun of for probably years for this, is that I was driving, it was probably around October, and I was stopped at a light and a bunch like a wind kicked up and all the leaves went like, you know, scattering across. And I was like, oh my God, it's just like the movies. Yep. That was my brain. Where I was like, autumn? Leaves? Changing colors? Wind? Oh my goodness. Yeah.
I'd probably be the same way though, as a fellow Californian. So I get it.
Oh, and I was going to say another dumb thing I once said, and that's one I'm still made fun of annually for, is that there was like, you know, a snow. And so snow was on everything. And I was like, oh, it's like laying on the bushes, just like quilting. And they were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, because in California, when you decorate for Christmas, you buy like the cotton quilting and you put that on top of the bushes to look like snow. But it actually looks like that here and it's real. So, you know, that's where my brain will live until the end of time.
The snow looks like quilting. It's not the quilting.
Yeah, the
like snow.
Nope. Of course, everyone who grew up out here is like, what are you talking about? You fake snow in California? And I'm like, yes.
We have to.
You buy the roll from Joann's, and then you put it on top of your hedges, and then it looks like it might have been cold.
I do think that that is an interesting draw as a native Utahn, and like just I've always lived here, been other places. I wouldn't say that I take the natural wonder and grandeur of our mountain ranges for granted, but when people do come visit, like, I mean, it is a destination. It's a unique place to come visit, like with all of the natural beauty and things. So there are reasons to come to Salt Lake. There are other things that you can go check out on that Friday and Sunday before the fest and after the fest.
The first year we came out, I remember one of my friends who came with us was just making fun of me because I just kept turning around and being like, mountains, like you can just see all of them. And like, we like drove out to these hot springs and I was like, you got it. Like, I don't know. It just kind of blew my mind. And I was like, wow, this is such a beautiful place. Like, but also I kept turning. It was like every gas station parking lot we stopped. And I was like, you can see so far. Like, you can see so many mountains. This is so cool.
Yeah. I, back when I still booked shows more regularly, bands would stay with me and all the bands from the Midwest would just be outside. Like, do you see those mountains? Can we go to them? What is that like? And I'm like, all right, I guess we could drive the canyon. And they're just in the window, like elevation. And I grew up by the mountains kind of in California. So for me, I'm like, oh, these are like different, more majestic, more beautiful mountains than the ones I grew up by in California. But also I'm like, yeah, mountains to situate the directions, right? Isn't that what those are for? That's what, why am I looking at the mountains? Cause I'm trying to figure out which way is north. But then we're in like a bowl of mountains, but sometimes, yeah, I think I am a big proponent of trying to convince people to come to Salt Lake City, because I think if you've never visited, you have a vision of Salt Lake City being this incredibly boring Mormon white small city in your mind that is like 40 years outdated at this point. We don't even have the low point alcohol law anymore. That got repealed. We do have weird alcohol laws, but you can buy beer at the grocery store and it's the same as anywhere else. It's really gorgeous. Just physically outside is really beautiful. We have minority majority school districts and neighborhoods. It's like a growing city. So it's pretty easy to get around. It isn't as big as LA, which I guess is my one like personal barometer, the like fifth biggest city in the world. But it's still like anything that you want is here. A lot of exciting stuff is here. It is a really beautiful, fun city if you want to come here, especially if you're into birding or I guess if you're into skiing, but that's expensive. I've lived here for 10 years. I still haven't done it. But if you're into hiking, so a lot of the outdoor stuff, but also like theaters and shows and food, it's really walkable. The public transportation around here is great. So many trees. weather. There's weather here. You got to come out.
Yeah, this is my plug for everyone who's considering going to the Zine Fest to just do it. Just buy your plane ticket, buy your bus ticket. I had the same, like, kind of outdated, like, idea of Salt Lake City until I went, and I was just like, it kind of blew my mind, and I was like, wow, that was like a really not, it was interesting, like, how wrong that idea in my head had been once I, like, visited the city, and I was just like, whoa, like, this place is really cool.
Also, I would like, this is coming from my own bias, but I would like other people's input. I feel like Salt Lake City, pretty gay. Would you agree? Maybe it's just the spaces I'm in. But, like, the fact that we have that many gay bookstores.
Right, you have Under the Umbrella, right?
Yep, and we have Legendarium, and we have... the new one, Lovebound. So you got one just for like fantasy, D&D, and that one has a coffee shop in it. Then you have another one that's basically just Smut. And then you have Under the Umbrella, which is community events and a bookstore and, a little more than that. So we got three different queer bookstores. We have multiple gay coffee shops. Like, so many queer teen events, some of which are, like, city-sponsored.
Damn. I'm going to need a list, like a queer Salt Lake City list to kind of check off while I'm visiting.
A little Ooh, Bonnie, queer... we should do that.
Yeah. I'm into it. Like, a little queer spaces of Salt Lake, like, map or, like, scavenger hunt.
Ooh, yeah.
I almost feel like we need to separate it between like the quiet gaze and the loud gaze too, because there's so many different types of bars and cafes and coffee shops and bookstores. And it's like, what's your flavor? Right.
Yeah. It can have like a rating, like a noise rating or like a, I don't know, like.
Smart though. And that's something you kind of touched on before we started recording, Donna, is like bringing more kind of queer, loud, radical energy to the fest this year. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Sure. So when I initially started, well, I feel like, Bonnie, you should speak to it first. Like, I feel like Grid started with the thought or the image to try and make it as like community oriented, family friendly as a zine fest, to try and like bring in a lot of people who probably had never who are going to pronounce it as zine, right?
Yeah, and I think we just didn't really have a feel for who the zine makers were. I mean, we knew all the people who'd been coming to Alt Press Fest for years, but that was really the downtown Salt Lake zine makers. So it was a small group. And even that first year, it was astonishing how many people came up from Utah County, which is, for people unfamiliar, is Provo, really the heart of the LDS sort of stronghold in Utah. But a lot of artists, queer artists, people doing interesting things in Utah County, people from up north in Cache Valley, like just in Ogden is just a little bit north of Salt Lake, just all these people, even from across the state, who are doing interesting things and doing different things. And yeah, I think we didn't really know what to expect. We were just trying to maybe like official isn't the word, but we wanted people to know that we were a real thing, that it wasn't just by the seat of our pants, 1 year off event. Like, we wanted to make it real. And so it was sort of more of that energy that Donna was saying. And then Since the pandemic, I do feel like things have shifted. People have moved, different zine makers. It's different. People are making zines that haven't ever made zines before. So yeah, if you want to keep kind of talking about that shift, Donna.
Yeah. So for me, zines are, you know, my introduction to zines as a teenager was very much through things like Crime Think and other radical literature, where a kid in the suburbs was really trying to find something that really spoke to me when I was feeling so alienated. And I definitely found that in like anarchist literature. And then getting a little bit older, and then in my 20s, meeting everybody. Well, I went to school for journalism, and I helped out with a lot of different fanzines that were coming out of LA. Scratch, and then I wasn't really involved with Destroy All Monthly, but all my friends were, and then a Big Wheel. And so doing these like larger format magazines that were effectively fanzines, right? Like Razor Cake is, with a ton of volunteers who are doing band interviews, people interviews, while also having columns, having reviews for albums and zines and books. So they would be a and they all focused around like DIY. So Razor Cake, if you don't know, is a DIY music fanzine. I believe it's the only 501c3 fanzine in the world. And it's been going strong for 23 years. 23 years. And then I came on maybe 13 years ago. And that is something that we've been working on for so long. And so much of that, when I got involved in that, was this push to be like overtly political, to highlight marginalized voices, to go beyond whatever the so-called punk mainstream was, because that's what I believed zines can and should do. And so when I started helping out with the fest, one of the things that I really wanted to bring that I didn't necessarily see, especially at Alt Press Fest, but at some of the early ones, was something where it was overtly radical, overtly political, overtly queer. And to inject that side of zines to exist concurrently with the community event, family-friendly ones as well, that these two worlds could very much intermix. And they did. I remember Bonnie came up with a year where everybody had little flags at their table if their stuff was family friendly, so that people who came in with their kids would know automatically, these are the tables where they'll have more family friendly stuff. These tables don't. It's okay that they're all mixed in together.
And it's cool that you don't have them like, I don't know, kind of like separated from each other. Like, you do have them kind of all intermingled, but still have the like the flags to be like, oh yeah, like kids can read this, but we're also gonna like not kind of segregate the like political and queer and radical stuff from things that are family friendly. Because I think, I don't know, I think it's good to have everything mixed in, because like, maybe a kid will see something that's not necessarily family friendly that they'll get really excited about. Like, not like a smut zine, but like something that they like find an idea in that's like, oh, this is how other people like, this is an idea that other people have that I have that I didn't really know how to put words to, maybe. And they can find something that way.
I think it's really, sorry. No, I just, as somebody who has both sides of that to my own personality, I have two kids, I work with kids making zines. Like, I just think it's, I think it's an important and fun creative outlet for little kids. My six-year-old has already made three zines for Grid just on his own. And he is kind of hassling me about not having any zines done yet. So he can tone that down a little bit. But just really important for teens to be able to come to these spaces and be able to feel like they can find those zines with some different ideas or things that speak to them. I grew up in northern Utah in a really small town, really really Mormon, really just small town, you know. And I had expansive, awesome parents and family, but it still was hard as a kid. And I just always wish that I would have known more what zines were, or could have gone to a zine fest, or could have met these people. So it's really important to me, especially for teens, to be able to have those options. And so I think whatever ways that you can make a zine event feel good for parents, because I get where you don't necessarily want your six-year-old to pick up a horror zine that is really scary, maybe, right? Just like really gory. But I want those people that make those spooky, cool zines at the Zine Fest, because maybe that is just the thing that's going to talk to the 14-year-old and make them, you know, like that's how they're expanding their world and checking things out. And so yeah, I think, I also think that it's really awkward when you try to separate, you know, like have a kids row or, you know, like an adult area. I don't think that makes sense. And I don't think that feels good for the zine makers. I think if you're making a community, it's having everybody be mixed in with each other. You don't want to feel like you're not cool enough or you're an outsider or weirdo. Like, the whole point is that we're all a bunch of outsiders and weirdos rubbing up against each other.
Absolutely. And I'm gonna soapbox for a minute, because I've been on the soapbox, God, for years now. People need to give children a lot more agency, right? I'm perpetually bothered by legislatures claiming that what they're doing is protecting children, and there's no agency given to people under 18 to make up their minds or create, like, find the things that they want. And there's this whole idea that we need to censor them and keep them away from everything. When for me, I still remember being 9 years old and seeing the Rocky Horror Picture Show on TV. And that being something that finally told me that something was cool and okay that I was feeling. And then later on, when nobody was looking, ducking into the comic sections at my public library and finding comics that were technically supposed to be for so-called adults. And there wasn't really like that much adult stuff in it, aside from maybe curse words. Right. But then being so excited that I gained access to all of this that showed me these worlds and ideas and these subcultures that I wanted so much to seek out and find, because the world I was living in the suburbs, given it was California, but still, I mean, I was in the shadow of Los Angeles, but I wasn't in Los Angeles, that I couldn't find any of this. There weren't like other students at my school talking about this. In fact, if you put yourself out there too much, which eventually I did because I couldn't hold it in, went like all goth clothes, drawing spider webs on my face every day. Like, you got ostracized, you got made fun of, you got beat up, but then you could find things like zines where you knew there was someone else out there. You knew there were people out there, and you knew one day you'd be able to find them, that you weren't alone. And giving kids the ability to see those things or exist in those spaces and recognize that there's more of a world out there, and perhaps they can be able to find themselves in that space one day, is all I want to do all the time, right? Like, it took me a while to learn how to best like reach preteen and teen audiences when I started doing zines. And now they're some of my favorite people to talk to and to ask what they think about or what they're excited about. And like, I tabled zines sort of on a whim at a show, just at a local show here, not really recognizing what I was getting into. And then it turned out to be a room of like 30 high schoolers. And I felt a little odd being the oldest person in the room, aside from a couple parents. But I had everything from really cool teens who were coming up and being like, what do you mean everything on this table is free? And I'm like, it's all free. I'm giving it away. I want you to have it. Who were like, hey, I made a zine. Can I share it with you? And I'm like, yes, give it to me. I need to see what your zine is. All the way to, I had a group of, they were pretty young. I'm going to guess like 14, maybe 15, where they came up to me and they were like, oh my God, we heard these are free. And I'm like, yes, they are. And they were so excited and they were grabbing all the stuff off my table. And one of them like lifted up the zine and she's flipping through it. And she's like, what is this? And her friend looks at her and she was like, it's zines like from Bikini Kill. And my face started glowing. And then one of the other ones just fist in the air, screamed feminism. And I could have just like started, I could have started crying. Right. Because somehow, some way they found all of this despite everything, right? Despite book bans and, you know, just an unbelievable culture of like censoring and completely isolating children from these ideas and this deep divide on like what is and isn't okay and hot takes that I never wanted to hear in the first place. Somehow these little 14-year-olds had found it all through, of all things, Bikini Kill and zines, right? And I got to, just for a moment, give them something for free that they could go home and read.
I have one of the other, and I guess it is an important kind of key value, like if we had a mission statement for GRID. I've been helping run co-sponsoring a teen program at the Salt Lake City Public Library called Teen Zine Team. And that started in 2018 after I'd done a workshop that I do different workshops, summer camps with teens. And it's always a little bit of a crapshoot how it's going to go. If the kids are going to just really get it, or if they're kids that their parents signed up for and they're just like, la la la, right? Like, doesn't quite click. And that's just the nature of zines, right? Like if it clicks, it clicks. But it was an especially great one. And the kids were just like, but we want to keep making zines and we keep wanting to make zines together. And I said, okay, let's figure it out. And so we just started meeting at the library. The library heard what we were doing and said, we can support this. So made it an official library program. It took a little break during pandemic and then came back on Zoom. We did it on Zoom for a while. And we've been in person for a while. But it's every week at the library, and it's just open to any teens in the city. But we have our group of teens who've been coming for years and years now. And just to see them, like, initially, like, making a little funny mini zines, and then kind of dabble with, maybe I could make a larger zine. Maybe I can make a zine about something I really care about. How can I figure out how to format this, right? Like, that's one of the biggest barriers is, how do I actually make this into a booklet that gets, like, saddle-stitched in the middle and have it all work? Just being able to support them and be there for them, and even on weeks when they don't want to make scenes, but they just want to hang out and talk to somebody, like, it's just really special and important to me, and it's been something that I think is really, really valuable. And a lot of times, those kids those age, they get sidelined by things. Venues, it's a 21 plus venue, so they can't go see the music. Or it's, you know, they can't drive, so they can't get to something or whatever. But having things that are accessible, like at the library, like a free zine fest, it's definitely one of the things that I think is a really important mission of GRID Zine Fest.
I remember seeing the Teen Zine Team last year and just being really like excited that all these like teens were making. I picked up some zines and I just remember reading them and being like, these kids are so cool. Like I talk a lot about how I wish that I had zines when I was like younger and like a teen. And it's just, it's incredible to see the kind of stuff that kids are able to create. Given the tools and the resources. And it's one of the reasons I love teaching teen zine workshops. Just like seeing them get excited about like new things and new ideas and being able to share their ideas and stuff.
The enthusiasm.
Go ahead.
Just the enthusiasm is thrilling. And I think that there's too much of like growing up and becoming professionals that we lose that enthusiasm. And really that is a key part of zine making. You're not going to make a zine if you're not super excited about something. So tapping into that energy and having that energy is just invaluable.
We have a teen on our organizing team for Queer Zine Fest that we roped him in after a workshop that me and another organizer taught. And this, if they're organizing this year, it'll be their third year, but it's just incredible the like enthusiasm that he has for zines and for sharing. And I'm like, oh, I'm old and tired. Like, you, like, please inherit this zine fest. Like, please give me all of your energy and also, like, take it and run with it. And, like, I hope that they continue to organize because I really, it'd be cool to have just more, like, youthful energy, I guess, in the organizing sphere and also just seeing people kind of newly excited about things is also really fun.
Also, Bonnie and I have regularly run into this where, like, whenever we start talking to teens, it's, they're able to give us ideas and art trends or like community spaces, like things that my 40-year-old ass isn't going to know about, right? Like, I had no idea. A friend of a friend was like, hey, these kids were excited about Razor Cake. Do you think you want a table at it? And only after I get there, I'm like, oh, this is like the cool teen thing happening in the city. I just happen to have stumbled onto it because I know the person who owns the space and they thought it might be a good idea. Otherwise, like, I would never know. And bringing in those groups, like, they're going to tell you. They're going to have jokes you don't understand. They're going to have a language that you're not going to get, but also they're going to be able to produce something that is so much more new and exciting and reaches an audience that you can't, right? And so that is another reason why I love having them there. Like, how do you become inclusive? Well, you become inclusive by bringing in all the different voices and ideas.
I love that. I think more teens should get involved in zines and more teens should join Zine Fest organizing committees and more teens and zines. Teens and zines. What a combo. Please get involved.
800%, yes.
We're running. I don't say we're running over. This has been really fun. But we are winding down, I'd say. Is there anything else that you want to plug for either your own work or the upcoming fest? One last kind of like, please come to the fest. Please.
I was gonna say, Bonnie, do you want to talk? Are we both doing it?
Do we want to talk about just our final fundraising push? Is that an okay thing to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
So, planning Zine Fest, we really, for anybody who wants to put one on in their city, you can do it for not a lot. So, that is the first thing being said. Like, you can make a Zine Fest happen, but things cost money, and they're costing more and more money all the time. Inflation is making dumb things like table rentals just harder. And urbanization and weird things are making delivery fees and things a little bit more. So this year we are doing a sort of a stretch goal fundraising push at the end of April. And the organizers have all designed an exclusive grid postcard that is going to be printed on risograph and looks really cool. And if people do just have a little bit of extra cash that they can just like shoot towards the fest, like I said, it's such a it's the kind of thing where $5 does make a difference for us. It's going to help us be able to get snacks for the tablers. It's going to be able to help us make sure that we have the tables and chairs and different things like venue stuff just going smoothly. But if people want to donate $25 to Grid, then they can get one of those exclusive postcards. We'll mail it to people. Probably a button too. We have some teens designing some exclusive grid button designs. And yeah, anything helps.
Yeah, and to find out about that fundraiser, you can follow us on Instagram at GridZineFest. P.S. It's called GridZineFest because our roads are on a grid system. I had been an organizer for 2.5 years before I figured that out. I just thought it was a fun name. So yes, Salt Lake City is on a grid system. So GridZineFest on Instagram, GridZineFest.org if you want to go to the website. The fest itself is May 18th. We would love to have all of you there. Registration is currently closed, but waitlist is still open. So you're welcome to still sign up. And little plug for myself, razorcake.org. If you want to check out the web exclusive content, but if you want to read my column and everything that's in print, there is no online equivalent, and you can get issues come out every other month, so 6 issues a year, and subscriptions are only $15.
I'll post all of this information in the show notes as well, so people can read it as well as listen to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for chatting with me about zines and the Zine Fest and organizing and exciting teen activities and weather. This has been really fun.
I always want to talk about zines. It has been so fun. So thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah.
And I genuinely love talking about weather. It's so exciting.
Thank you everyone for listening to Long Arm Stapler. I opened up a membership tier on Ko-fi if you want to support the podcast. I'll send you a cool new sticker with my cool new logo that my friend Michaela drew. And it just goes towards, like hosting and editing. But it's $2 a month. So if you're interested, check out my Ko-fi or my Linktree or my Instagram. All of it is at Long Arm Stapler with no vowels. Thank you again to Bonnie and Donna, and I hope to see everyone at GridZineFest on May 18th.
Thanks everyone.
Thanks.